One way to think about our assemblies as we come together on a Sunday morning like this is that it is a conversation. It's a conversation in the sense that God speaks and we speak to Him. God speaks to us in the reading of Scripture, the preaching of the Word, and we speak to Him as we sing and as we pray. But I would suggest to you that the pivotal event around, that all of those things revolve around is this table. This morning as we gather around this table, and if you're visiting with us, the final Sunday of almost every month, we give particular focus, though we participate in the Lord's Supper every Sunday. The last Sunday of the month, we give particular focus to the Lord's Supper and try to put the brakes on a little bit and stop and think. And I think the pivotal event that allows us, though we are unholy in so many ways, to be seen as holy is the cross of Christ. And so, rightly, this table is pivotal. It's the center of all that we do. It's the climax of all that we do when we assemble. The last three Sundays, we've thought together as we gather around the table, we thought together about Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. And I invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9 this morning. Let's think some more about those words. I would remind you about the book of Hebrews, that it is a book written to encourage Christians whose faith has become tired. They've been Christians for a while and they're not so sure it's worth what it costs them. They're not so sure that it's worth continuing in faith. And the book of Hebrews is an argument saying it's worth your while. That you ought not to give up now. In chapter 12 of Hebrews, verse 3, it speaks of their weariness. In chapter 12, verse 12, it speaks of their drooping hands and their weak knees. In chapter 12, verse 15, it speaks of the danger that they may, in fact, falter to the degree that they will fail to obtain the grace of God. And that's why it's important that as we think about the book of Hebrews, we think about what the argument being made, and that is, do you realize what God has done in Jesus Christ? I want to read chapter 9, verses 11 through 15, but before I do so, I want to point out some repetition that you will hear in those verses. Listen for the word eternal. You have the idea of eternal redemption, the eternal spirit, and an eternal inheritance that awaits us. Chapter 9, verses 11 through 15. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by the means of blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. this repetition of this word eternal. I encourage you to think some about that. In particular, in verse 14, notice the idea that through the blood of Christ, our consciences have been cleansed. They have been purified from dead works. Why? What does it say in verse 14? That we might serve the living God. Don't get so tired. Don't get so tired and weary in your service, in your discipleship, in following Jesus, that you no longer serve the living God. This living God who sent His Son to redeem us, an eternal redemption. Verse 14 reminds us that when we gather around this table, we certainly do well to celebrate, to give thanks for the forgiveness of our sins. But this verse reminds us in chapter 9, verse 14, this verse reminds us that not only was the blood of Jesus shed to bring a cleared conscience, a purified conscience, but also notice the last part of that verse, so that we might serve the living God. When we gather around this table, we do well to be thankful for the forgiveness of our sins. But don't stop there. This table also calls us. It calls us to live in a different way all of this next week. To live faithfully following in the steps of Jesus, who gave Himself for us. Jesus died that we might serve the living God. We have been saved from our sins that we might serve the living God. There is an aspect beyond this moment around this table. There is a all of this next week aspect to this table, this hour, this moment, as we gather around this table, as we eat this bread, as we drink this cup. Not only are we partaking of the benefits of the shed blood of Jesus, of His body given in our stead on the cross, not only are we sharing in those benefits, partaking of those benefits as we partake of this bread, as we partake of this cup, but we also are committing ourselves to partake of the self-giving ways of Jesus on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. The first day of the week is a way of realigning our priorities as we gather around this table. That following in the steps of Jesus is our chief priority. That we have been saved to serve. Our sins have been forgiven. That we might follow in the steps of the self-giving one. These verses that I read from chapter 9 anticipate something that's said that's very important in chapter 10. Chapters 8 through 10 are really one big section. And the writer of Hebrews talks about this eternal redemption through the eternal Spirit for an eternal inheritance. We have been in the past redeemed, an eternal redemption. Through this eternal Spirit, it's a once-for-all thing, unlike the animal sacrifices associated with the Levitical practices of Moses. But there is a future aspect of this. There is an eternal inheritance that awaits us. And in chapter 10, I invite your attention to chapter 10, verses 22 through 25. It's some of those, what someone has called the salad verses of Hebrews. Let us. In chapter 10, verse 22, let us draw near the eternal once for all redemption that we find in Jesus Christ allows us to draw near to a holy God. It's that we celebrate around this table. Our high priest has cleared the way so that we might have a purified conscience as we gather around this table. In chapter 10, verse 23, a second lettuce verse. Let us hold fast. Let us cling to, without wavering, steadily, he says. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. The confession of our hope, our confident expectation. Jesus will come again. Jesus has come. Jesus will come again. And as we gather around this table, we eat this bread, we drink this cup until he comes again. Chapter 10, verse 24, a third, let us. And so let us stir up one another. There is this one another aspect to this table, isn't it? It's not just some solo private moment. We eat this bread, we drink this cup together. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, we make a proclamation when we eat this bread and drink this cup. We're proclaiming what we believe. And it encourages others when they say, look, here's my brother, here's my sister in Christ, and they too believe that Jesus is risen, that Jesus died for our sins, that he's risen. Jesus meets us here at this table. They too believe that. Let us stir up one another to love and good works. We've been saved to serve. Let us stir up one another to love and good works. As we gather around this table this morning, may your faith be strengthened. May God give us the grace, not simply the forgiveness of our sins, but the grace in the sense of the strength that we need for this coming week. May we be strengthened in our willingness and our readiness to serve following the ways of Jesus as we eat this bread and drink this cup this morning.